couple of sections from 7 and 8 last week, and we're going to drop back and look at them. As we move through the Scripture, you know, we're not sightseeing, but we are sighting the seer. And Jesus and the privilege of studying His words through the Gospel of Matthew. But I was going to read three sections here, and beginning in verse 15, chapter 7. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. The next passage, beginning in 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And then skip over to chapter 8, beginning with verse 18. And when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. And again, as we continue through your word, Lord, we ask that you'd open our hearts and our understanding and feed us, Lord, that we might grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, you know, he's talking, following the Sermon on the Mount and the, you know, sharing of the principles of the kingdom of heaven, you know, that great Sermon on the Mount we went through, and how he, following, you know, the passage in chapter 7, he was talking about the two ways of life. He talks about in chapter 7 that narrow is the gate that leads to life. Difficult is a way, and few find it. Then he contrasted that narrowness of that gate or entrance into the kingdom or life with him with broad is the way of destruction. Many go in thereby, but it's the way that leads to death. It's the way of destruction. Jesus, following all these rich nuggets of kingdom principles and teachings with a warning to beware of false prophets, but he, you know, following the entrance into the kingdom of heaven is narrow, confined, difficult, and yet the other way, the easier way, the implication is, difficult is the way that enters into heaven, but difficult is the way that leads to death. And many go in there or follow that path. Beware of false prophets. You know, they'll want to deceive you, coax you along the Broadway. They'll give you free tickets to Broadway. The way that leads to death. The way apart from Christ and God's way. But he gives a warning. Whenever Jesus gives a warning, we're to take heed. He doesn't give warnings needlessly. Beware of false prophets. for they'll misdirect, misguide, and get us off track or lead us astray. You remember Paul in the book of Galatians says, who has bewitched you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who's called you. You remember bewitched, you know, she had that and that is what the false prophets have, that persuasion of influence that mislead away from God's word, away from Jesus Christ, the truth of Christ. He in this chapter, this passage, gives a warning. He describes the false prophets to beware of as sheeps, a sheep in wolves' clothing. They look like sheep. You know, on the outside, they look harmless. But Jesus said, inside, they're ravenous wolves. They're out to devour, to hurt, to harm, to ruin, to destroy, to lead astray. Thus, why he gives the warning to beware of. He tells us how we can identify false prophets. It's by their fruit. Then he uses the illustration, you know, that a good tree is known by its good fruit, by its fruit. Bad tree is known by its bad fruit. The way to identify. You know, we can recognize an apple tree by its apples. Voices and persuasions to beware of, warning given. The Bible tells us that, you know, we sometimes are coaxed into a lull of everybody's not bad. But the Bible does tell us that, you know, there's two spirits in this world. And you either have his spirit or you don't. If you or I do not have not been sealed by the Holy Spirit, then we're being directed by a false spirit. That's what the Bible teaches us. In Romans, the Bible tells us, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone does not have the spirit of God, he is not his. Clearly explaining that if you're born again, you have God's spirit. And if you're not, you're not his. You don't belong to him. Thus, you have another spirit, man. Jesus tells us to beware of false prophets. They have another spirit. And they're teaching from another spiritual base, other than the scripture, other than the Bible, other than the Holy Spirit, other than Christ, God, and his way. We, identify the right spirit within us. I mean, we should make certain, you know, that we're born again. We better realize and be certain and know that we're born again. Thus, giving us, you know, his seal, his claim belonging to him, our security of our salvation, eternal life, safety, being right before God with him. But Satan attacks through false prophets and different means and methods. But the Bible tells us of his two prominent, most prominent. Peter tells us to take heed to the Satan, like a roaring lion, you know, seeks to devour those. You know, be alert, be vigilant. And one of his assaulting methods or tactics is just front-on attacking. You look at Islam. And Islam makes no bones about it. They call America the great Satan. They're against the Jew and the Christian. Front on, right out in the open, in the Quran, is their doctrine. Satan attacking front on is one of his methods of attack. But the Bible tells us, Paul teaches in 2 Corinthians, you know, about the Corinthians. He was talking about, you know, his concern for them and his care, and he said that, you know, I'm concerned that the serpent, you know, how the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. His concern was this, expressing the subtlety of how Satan attacks. You know, very secretively. You don't recognize, can't put your finger on it. You talk to people that are in cults and they got different doctrines, and they don't come out and be honest with what they think, what they, you know, believe. They're shifty. They're secret. And, you know, the subtlety of Satan's methods and tactics are what Paul teaches or shares with the Corinthians to his concern for. Back in the early church, you know, one way that Satan attacked or assaulted the early church or crept in with false doctrines or came against the church was through the Gnosticism teaching that everything material is no good. It isn't of God. That Jesus himself wasn't even a man. He was a phantom. He was a spirit. Attacking the deity of Jesus. Attacking the truth about Jesus. In 1 John, the Bible tells us, you know, unless someone confesses that Jesus came in the flesh, he is of the Antichrist. John coming against that assault and that creeping into the church, the subtlety of how, you know, identifying, marking it, describing it, defining it. Take heed, beware of false prophets. Today, you know, there's things that are taking place. You know, one of the difficulties with me, and I admit, you know, I live in my own circle, and I'm concerned about my family and God's family within my circle. What's going on out there, I don't, you know, monitor maybe enough. But Jesus is saying, beware of false prophets, false voices, influences, persuasions. So we'll get into it a little more this morning. But today, the emerging church is one thing we see growing, cropping up, assaulting the truth of biblical traditional Christianity and growing and scooping in scores of people. Oh, they're fun, they're interesting, they're current, they're present, they're alive in their worship, and yet unscriptural. And beware of false prophets. But we're not going to really get into their stuff. Just to mention a few, witchcraft and Wicca, the Complete Idiot's Guide. You know, that book series has even put out books about Wicca and witchcraft, voodoo, psychic awareness. But this morning, the Bible tells us that in the end, there's going to be a one religion. The world is going to unite. And we see that coming together today before our eyes. We can maybe identify some of the methods of how Satan plans to unite the different religions in the world, dupe everyone into believing, you know, or accepting one world religion. The Catholics are, you know, pledging their hand, their lot in. They'll stand, you know, shoulder to shoulder with the Hindu and the Buddhist, and this, like, some kind of misguided ecumenical type of, you know, acceptance that there's only, you know, the same thing. We all worship the same God. Islam, Allah, that's the same God we worship. And the Buddhist and the Hindu. And, you know, God in his mercy and his love and his, you know, who is mercifulness, isn't going to judge another religion. Thus, let's join hands. Let's stand together. But that's not what the scripture tells us. And the problem is in the root. Okay, the Bible teaches us one of the root doctrines that we believe in. We're monotheist. We believe that there's one God and in three persons, the Trinity. But he stands exclusive from the God of other religions. Now, there's other false concepts, false doctrines, false beliefs. Pantheism. All is God. Stay with me a minute. Panentheism. God is in all things. I was talking to a Hindu one time, and I said, well, I mean, do you believe in God? Do I believe in God? And then he turns and he spreads out his arms and he says, I believe that God is everywhere and God is everything. That's not what the Bible teaches. And yet that's what a lot of people are buying into. New Age. And maybe part of this oneness of understanding. Pantheism and panentheism. But we believe in monotheism, which God, you know, of the Bible is exclusive. One of the things that New Agers practice that's dangerous, that's similar to other practices in different religions, is meditation. And in their meditation, you might have heard this. I've actually been in a Catholic church at a marriage encounter related function years ago. And they had us all sit down on the floor and enter into this meditation state. And in our meditation, we were supposed to go back into our childhood, further back and back. And they got into this regression stuff. Before we were born, your inner child, all this stuff. The Catholics do this meditation thing. New Agers, I'm sure you're familiar with this. You've heard it. That, you know, you gotta meditate, and you gotta empty yourself of your thoughts. In other words, you gotta get to a place beyond thinking. You have to release your thinking. You know, never release your thinking. But this is what they're practicing. And then when you release you get to this higher state, you'll meet your spirit guide. You get into a spiritual awareness, and thus connect in this higher enlightened state of conscious awareness. The New Agers teach this, but the Hindus have a similar teaching. When you get into this state of meditation, they call it samadhi. A similar practice, similar object. In occultism, they have a similar practice and end. They call it they're exercising their mystical faculties. Yoga meditation, the end of, or the object of yoga meditation is that, now the oxymoron is, today you'll hear and read about Christian yoga. That's an oxymoron, that's ridiculous. But the object of yoga is you get this peaceful state and you come into this awareness that God is in all things and you're tapping into the God of the universe. Oh, a relaxed state, and you're just, you know, bending yourself like a pretzel and entering into this dangerous conscious state of what they call meditation. Now, Christian, when the Bible talks about meditation, it's different. In our form of meditation, we pray. We focus on, when we meditate, God's Word. And our thinking, you know, we take captive the thoughts that are opposed against God, but we, you know, are renewed by the Word and the truth. Like ruminating, like a cow, you chew in the cud. He chews it and chews it and chews it. Then he kind of like pockets it down there, and he's able to bring it back up, chew it some more, chew it some more. That's how we meditate on God's Word. We don't release ourselves of thinking. We use our mind for how God gave it to us, placing it upon God's Word, who He is. But the connecting tissue of this may be a new world religion is through the meditation, through your spiritual connection, through the spirit guide, through the spirit enlightenment. Jesus said, beware of false prophets. They look, you know, harmless on the outside. A couple New Agers that are prominent, you see one on public television, Dr. Wayne Dyer. My uncle actually went to school with him. Him, along with Deepak Chopra, have sold over 50 million books. The New Age section in bookstores, it's not, you know, New Age movement hasn't crested. Even Jungian, I'm reading a book by Ray Jungian, talks about the different, you know, the growth of the New Age movement. It hasn't crested. It's soaking in. He says that you go into a bookstore now, you don't not only have just a New Age section that's isolated, but you'll find the New Age teachings in the self-help sections and what's in the self-improvement sections. And what's most alarming is you'll find it in the Christian sections. It's growing. It's spreading. The teachings, you know, the practices, the exercises, relating them to Christianity, where the Bible excludes them. Jesus said, beware of false prophets. Dr. Wayne Dyer, you might have seen him on PBS. He comes out. He's a real relaxed man. Well-spoken. You know, good humor. Connects with the audience. And he seems harmless. Talks about Jesus. He talks about Jesus in a different way, but he like cites him as if, you know, he knows him. He seems comfortable in his own skin. And yet, he believes in this meditation, this New Age practice. You've got to release your thinking, man. You've got to get into this so you can meet your spirit guide. Dangerous teaching. Looks okay on the outside, but inside is a ravenous wolf that will take you off track. Practices in different disguises have crept into much of our culture, even the church. Don't let it creep into you, is what Jesus is saying. He's gives us a warning to beware of false prophets. Then following, you know, beware of false prophets, he goes into, you know, make no mistake, not everyone gets into heaven. In that section, he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Connection of the same, you know, body thought, that, you know, beware of false prophets, they'll take you off track. You know, narrow is the way that leads to life, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Now, don't make the mistake that everyone's getting in. Jesus clearly explains only a few are going to get in. Not even ones that talk about Lord, Lord. Not even the ones that say and talk about Jesus. They're not getting in. And, you know, he explains, you know, why. But this is, you know, it relates to, you know, what Oprah and the hosts and the television and the culture and how this New Age permeates, the pernicious teaching of the New Agers have permeated. Because, you see, God is already in you. And thus, God is in you. You just have to contact the God in you. That's what Satan has been saying all along. That's what how he deceived Eve. You know, God doesn't want you to be like him. And that's his own fall. I'm going to make, you know, I'm going to be exalted above the throne of heaven. I'm going to be like the Most High. But he's connecting with that aspect in humans. How, with deception, attacking, assaulting, creeping in, subtly. But Jesus says, make no mistake, not everybody gets in. Just because one talks about Jesus, says, Lord, Lord, you know, they don't get in. Those who are not born again, period, will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons and Dr. Wayne Dyer, even though he talks about Jesus, oh, Jesus, And he cites him. But he cites him like he's on equal ground with him. Because you know why? He believes it. He believes that the God is in him already. And you see, Jesus just exercised the Christ. He connected with that truth. That's what set him apart. Because he did the New Age system. Whereas Jesus said, not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. The New Age end or object, the Age of Aquarius, is what they're aiming for, and the movement is heading toward, is the self-realization that you are God, that God is in you, that you have divinity in you. That's anti-biblical, anti-Christ. But, you know, these creepy little methods, subtle little tactics, broadly spread in different religions and yoga, are after the same object. Beware of false prophets. Jesus said, even if they talk about Jesus, he said, Lord, Lord, but, you know, they don't have him Lord over their own life. You can even hear somebody, and I've been listening to audio books lately, and the end of the audio book, they're so, you know, they're so much laced with, you know, Buddhism and different things. And they talk about Jesus, they bring him up, and they talk about him in a prominent way, but not as Lord over their life. And though they talk about Lord, Lord, say and talk about Jesus, they're not getting in, Jesus says. They can do things in his name. This is their argument when they came to the door. They said, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We casted out demons in your name. We did wonders in your name. Supernatural activity. Prophesy. Clairvoyance. You know, they exhibited some kind of spiritual, you know, power and practice. And yet, they're not getting in. Joanna Michelson, I don't know if you remember her. She was in the occult, and she's documented saying and sharing her testimony that she used to do healings in the name of Jesus. She wasn't born again. She wasn't a Christian. She was calling on this spiritual. This wasn't the same Jesus. But she's calling on Jesus in the name of Jesus and doing spiritual activity and doing healings. Occultic. Even though they talk about Jesus, and even though they're doing things in his name, doesn't mean they're getting in, doesn't mean they're a good tree. But Jesus makes the distinction, he said, but he who does the will of God, he's the one that's getting in. Then he says to them, he said, depart from me, for I never knew you. The Bible, that phrase knew you means never ever knew you. They weren't born again. You have to be born again. That's what makes the difference. With God's Spirit. They were without God's Spirit. Peter, anyways, following Jesus is the next section about discipleship. The first man that came to Jesus, a scribe, the Bible tells us, he made a statement. He said, I will follow you wherever you go, chapter 8. He was pretty self-assured and confident, maybe over-enthusiastic. He was a scribe, an interpreter of the law. He reminds me of Peter. When Peter, you know, when Jesus made that, he says, you know, you strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered, right before his arrest. And Peter says, Jesus, though all these be made to stumble, I won't be made to stumble. And Jesus told Peter, you know, before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny me. Then Peter countered, I will die for you if I have to. There's no way I'm going to stumble. It's that self-assured confidence. But notice in his response to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Kind of putting on himself on the same level as Jesus. Thinking of ourselves higher than we ought. I like how Jesus, you know, cuts his legs out from underneath him. He says, you know, the birds of the air have nests, foxes have dens, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. I have no home. Are you willing to walk away from your home? Wherever I go? You know, the sincerity he tests within us. It's about discipleship and following Jesus. I will follow you wherever you go. But Jesus really exposing his self-exaltation. Notice he says, for the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. The 80-time mention in the Bible, it comes from the book of Daniel, and it talks about the title of the Messiah. I'm the Messiah, I'm God. God and man. God, man, the God-man. You're not on equal terms as me. We never will be. And if we want to follow him, it's got to take a different course. We're not going to will it into existence. I choose, I will follow you wherever you go. I've heard people, I'll die for him. I don't care what they do, I'll never deny him. I cringe when people talk like that. I don't have that kind of faith. I believe in him. God, give me the strength to walk after you. I need you, Lord, to sustain me. Following him, Jesus will test our sincerity. And then our priorities. The next man came. He said, let me first bury my father. Again, Jesus wasn't insensitive like pulling him away from the funeral. What he meant was, you know, let me live with my father until he passes away, and then I will follow you. You ever talk to somebody, once I finish school, I'll follow you, I'll accept Christ. Once I get married, I'll follow you, I'll accept Christ. You're representing a hesitant, you know, a reluctant. But Jesus said, follow me now. Let the dead bury the dead. In other words, let the world take care of its own business. You come follow me in life. To follow him, to walk with him. Staying off, exposing our rationalizations and excuses. But, you know, I think these connect, these passages. You know, to beware of false prophets. You know, what's GPS stand for? Well, guidance, you know, it's to give us guidance. I got a TomTom. And that TomTom, you can program different voices. There's Richard. There's Bonnie and Lisa. I think I'm using Lisa now, but I've been getting ticked off at her lately. She might have to go. But the idea is one's got a British accent. One speaks in real proper English. And some have a little slang. And they, you know, able to communicate with you. Different voices, and to listen to different voices. Jesus said, beware of false prophets, you know, not to entertain, not to dabble. We have a relative that got into yoga. She's a college, it's harmless. Be careful who you listen to and what you entertain in your thoughts, because the danger of it is that it's spiritually active. You pursue the object, you'll connect with the Spirit. Careful. Beware of false prophets. Be a good tree. doing the will of God. The true way into the kingdom is being born again. That's the will of God, to be born again. To receive His Spirit. Receive His seal. Through His Word and loving Him and relating to Him and worshiping Him. Following Him in sincerity. With our priorities right. It all connects. Let's stand. We're not to dabble. Surely it looks harmless. Father, we look to you. We thank you. We thank you for your word, Lord, and the truth and the safeguard and the power of the truth. And Lord, we do ask that you would watch over and look down upon and do cause us to take heed to your word, not to to beware, to take heed to the warnings. Beware of false prophets, these voices. And Lord, tune our ears in to you and your word, what you say, that we be governed by your word. Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing. We ask, Lord, that you would mark us and cause us to follow closely. Cause us not to have rest, Lord, if we're not right with you or born again. We commit this to you. We ask that you have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.